How's it going, people? How's it going? Welcome to the Big Six. Man like Grizz step into the hot seat. Boy! Welcome, most welcome, everyone. Listen, people, there's over 1,100 of you in here. Firstly and most importantly, smash that like button. You know how we roll before we get into it. And so much to get into. Boy, look at these faces. There's some hungry wolves out there. I can see some faces, boy, I tell you. But listen, first and foremost, welcome, welcome. Everyone in the chat, I know you lot have been waiting, but you know how it is. When Love Island is on, you know Toby's busy, innit?
So Toby, come on, man.
No coming on. I'm baiting you, and I'm telling these people straight. Matisse was doing the Love Island.
You know what is. Matisse does a stream about it.
No, hold fire, innit? Let me like. Yeah, Matisse was doing a whole stream. Yeah, Love Island, watch along.
On a Matisse, what are you doing, bro? What are you doing?
I'm expanding my demographic like a shameless. Smart man.
No, shameless. He does it openly. But Toby pretends that football training, gym, all of this thing, you know, in the barbecue. No. He's watching Love Island. So that's why we're late. But people in the chat, still, smash a like just for that even. You know what I mean? Of course, we've got an esteemed panel as usual. Obviously, you've got the regular faces. I don't need to introduce them. And even man like Daps, you become a regular face, man. Welcome back to the show, man.
I'm trying. I'm good.
Hope
man.
You're well.
Good. Thank you, brother.
Good, man. Yeah, I'm good. And I'm even better because I've seen a young brother making his debut on a show today with me. We've got the pleasure of having young Babs in the building. What are you saying, my bro? Welcome to the Big Six.
It's a proud day to make my debut, and I'm happy to be here, and I'm sure we're going to have a lot of fun.
We're going to try to have fun, man. We're going to try to have fun, because this show is all about fun, banter, jokes, but above all, keeping it real and respectful, you know what I mean? And people in the chat know that as well, you know what I mean? Especially with me hosting, because I don't fuck around. If I see you messing about in the... No, I don't. If I see you messing about in the chat, I'm just going to block you, and then you're going to have to beg Turkish's ass to unblock you, because I don't rant like that. I've got 3,000 on block on Twitter. I'll block you here. I'm shameless like that. Yeah. Listen, we got so much to get into, people. I don't even know where to start. I'm going to let you lot set the agenda, because Turkish just told me about an hour ago you're hosting. I said, okay, calm. So I ain't set an agenda or anything. So I don't know where to start. Where is likely to start, people? So much popping off. So much popping off. Any ideas?
Firstly, smash a like for Turkish.
Big up Turkish. Enjoy holiday.
Of course, Big Boss Man is out in Turkey, smashing it. He's not in Turkey. He's in Dubai.
Dubai. Yeah.
Mm. He's not Turkey? In Turkey. Don't worry about
it. Who said Turkey? That's
you. No, you are. You're
gonna have to hold that on your own. That's you.
That's you. That you're taking the mic there.
Yeah. Okay. So let me correct myself in it. Don't correct me in it. Let me correct myself in it. If I mash up, let me correct myself.
Is airlines all right, man? You said Turkey, man. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just trying to say his airline's all right, man.
You don't need to stop. You need to stop now. You need to stop that, innit?
Not
that
he's watching. Not that he's watching or anything, but...
You know, man's there, innit? But listen, people, of course, Big Boss Man is having a well-deserved break. And I mean, the streets are saying that he's run away from certain news. You know what I mean? The streets are talking, but we're going to talk about what the streets are saying later. Where to start, man? I don't know. We could start with Saeed. Saeed, what are you saying? Man United.
Listen.
Frankie De Jong, over the line.
I'm going to respectfully say no. We're not starting on there.
No, but listen, we let it flow, innit, man? Just get out of the way, innit? I'm helping you, brother.
No. I think it's easier to get this topic out of the way. Before it gets, you know what I mean? Because I'd rather end on Man United and stuff like that. I think the question is...
What's the question?
Why end on... Oh, okay.
What happened to Rafinha? That's all I want to know. I want to hear a logical explanation from Babs, because I feel like, for me, Babs says it in a calm manner, and I just want to hear it from Babs, the main man.
It's deflection, though. That is deflection.
Babs says a lot of things on Twitter to his 100k followers. Babs said that Favela football is loading at the Emirates. Babs said that what he likes most about Arsenal so far this window is there is a clear plan and they're pushing to execute as soon as possible. And Babs also said one down in Gabriel Jesus, one to go in Rafinha. Yeah. So
listen, Toby, it's lovely to hear that you got my notifications turned on. I love my fans.
Well, I don't have your notifications turned on, bro. But as soon as
I love to hear that. I love to hear that your phone is full of screenshots of my tweets.
No. Trust me. The last thing I want to do is be reading your tweets.
Well, you clearly are.
Your Arsenal prop is borderline sickening sometimes. But as soon as
it's
I found
to hear
out,
that. Doing my
as
job.
Soon as, I found out that you were going to be on the Big Six yesterday, best believe I had to do my research. Better believe I had to do my research.
Yo. Hold on. Is this how you welcome a young brother?
Is this what happens here, right, is Toby has a lot on his chest, you know. He's got a big chest, you know, so he's got a lot to offload. And obviously, I've been in his head quite a lot, obviously. So
Listen. First and foremost, talk to us, Babs. What's the situation with Rafinha? So how we see it, from looking from the outside, is Rafinha was going to leave Leeds. We first hear that he wants to go to Barcelona. And we then hear Arsenal are in the driving seat for things. Then we hear Chelsea have ridden you guys and come in at the last minute, and now he's heading to Chelsea. Tonight we hear he don't want to go to either of you. He don't want to know either of you. He wants Barcelona, but Barcelona are broke. Barcelona are waiting for the man them over there to give him some pee so they can make moves. This is a vicious circle. But where does it leave Arsenal and you, bro? How are you feeling about the situation?
I'm calm, to be honest. Like, with transfers, like, over the years for Arsenal, we've had so many heartbreaks. Like, this isn't really a heartbreak. We were negotiating a price, as reported. Like, I'm not in charge of transfers. So when you ask for extra relations, I'm not, like, in negotiations going, this is my choice. But clearly, they tried to get the price down to 50 or 55. Chelsea came with the big money. And to be fair to Todd Boehly, it makes a lot of sense if you think about it. His first window as Chelsea owner, he's trying to replace Roman, trying to show the Chelsea fans he means business. To take a player from Arsenal's grasp is a great way to start that. So they've put the money forwards, and that's all it is, really. It's not the fact that Arsenal have been rejected by the player. There's no denying his preference is Barcelona. That's pretty clear. The fact that he's even pushing his agent to go to Barcelona, having meetings for 24 hours, indicates that he's not convinced on Chelsea either. But what I will say is, according to reporters only, so I'm going off facts here, not my opinions, the only club that his people have rejected is that club over there, right? That is the only club that has been rejected by his people. They have talked to Arsenal, they have talked to Chelsea, the order is quite clearly Barca, Chelsea, Arsenal, makes sense. But the fact that I've seen so many Spurs fans laughing at Arsenal for Chelsea signing a player when they're the only team that's been rejected, it's a bit ironic.
I don't think it is ironic. I don't think it is ironic because how can we be rejected for a player that we didn't officially bid for?
I'm going off reports, bro.
Yeah, and I think you need to check your reports. And I'm not gonna lie, I think someone referred me to a report from a guy who was on a platform that is not a friend of this platform, and a platform that typically spews horrendous transfer news. So if that's what you want me to believe, then bruh.
No, that's not it. The source I was talking about is...
You got another thing coming. Wait, one sec. I ain't finished.
Continue.
So what I wanted to say is this, yeah? I'm not going to deny that Spurs were interested in Rafinha. We were. We were 100% interested in Rafinha. But Babs, you're a smart kid. You're a very smart kid. You've done a lot for the age of 21. You know who our main target was this summer. You know who our main target was this summer in that attacking position. And you know who Spurs are closing in on now. Yeah, if Spurs had made a bid for Rafinha and followed up with that interest, then I would understand. But the fact that a bid wasn't even confirmed by Ornstein, by Fabrizio, by any of the credible sources, none of these guys have said that Rafinha turned down Spurs. But I'm meant to believe that some random Chelsea correspondent got that scoop.
Well, ask Matisse then. He's a Chelsea fan who probably knows about the source. Is this guy reliable?
I like the way you just spun that over to me, but I'm not finished. I haven't even started, really, because maybe not you, Babs, but I saw a lot of edits, man. I saw a lot of lovely, clean Rafinha pics, you know, on the TL.
Nice, looking sharp.
Lovely comps.
Created by Babs, probably.
If you type it in on YouTube.
I hope, but like, if that was me, you know what I mean?
Listen, yeah, Babs, I know you're a good editor. Listen,
he's a good editor, man.
I saw some wonderful comps, some wonderful edits. Now I'm seeing, I saw Arsenal fans ready to move the beloved star boy Saka out on the left wing. Said, listen,
Arsenal fans, not Arsenal
listen,
fans.
Arsenal fans. Many fans.
I one fan can have an opinion, doesn't mean it represents the entire fan.
It wasn't one fan, though. It was many.
Who is it? Give me the receipts. I need to see receipts. You can't just throw that on me, say Arsenal fans, and then as an Arsenal fan, I disagree.
Listen, I'm not Toby. I didn't have no screenshots. My phone's on 4%. I ain't got time for all that. Listen, it was all over the TL, and I spoke to Dan Potts as well, because it were not London club's carnage. Saka could go to left wing. Starboy player of the year can go left wing. Rafinha's better. I saw it all over the TL. Oh, yeah, you're dropping names in the chat. I see you. Listen, I'm not going to name no names. But now suddenly, oh, we don't care. We don't want him. Who cares? It doesn't matter. Listen, I don't think it's a massive blow for Arsenal, because it's not an absolute must. However, you do need probably another attacker. But I do think it's beautiful in the way that it's gone, because you guys were getting very, very cocky. Very, very cocky that this deal was done. Anytime you speak about Rafinha a couple of days ago, it's done. You know, don't worry about it. There's no other clubs coming in. Chelsea, you ain't got Paul like that. You got a new owner coming in. You ain't got Roman Abramovich anymore. You haven't got any more money. You need to humble yourselves. Even you, Chris.
I've seen some great artwork in a Chelsea shirt as well, though, to be fair. And now...
Arsenal signing for 2 weeks. Chelsea signed for 24 hours, and that's it.
I can share it with you.
I ain't seen all
I
that.
I used it for a thumbnail earlier still, so I've got it.
Babs, I just want to ask you, because you know me, I like talking football, man.
Yes.
So I want to say, like, so Rafinha, what did you think of the proposed signing anyway, before obviously we know now it's very unlikely to happen, right? It's near enough not happening. Let's just assume it's not happening. How did you feel about that transfer? Because we spoke about it last show, didn't we, lads, that... How does that fit into sort of the Saka chat, Fabio Vieira, ball, Odegaard? You got a lot of left-sided players, left-footed players that play on the right. How would you have envisaged him fitting into your team pattern anyway?
I think he would have been a player that played on both sides, to be honest. Touchline, innit? So in a 4-3-3, hold the width. I think he's actually better on the left. A bit like how Sane was for Man City all these years ago. But Saka could do the same role, and the point was Saka and Rafinha could have played both sides equally as good. But it's just that Saka is so good on both sides, he's probably better than Rafinha in that aspect of being versatile. But I wouldn't have agreed to move Saka over, but at the same time, you could have had a front three of sometimes Rafinha on the right, Saka on the left, Jesus down the middle. But ultimately, as you said, he's not signing for Arsenal, or at least doesn't look like it right now. And look, I'm not too gutted, because it's not like I don't want the player. I would have loved him at Arsenal. But I'd also look at the market and go, there are other players. This is not Kylian Mbappe. He's not Lionel Messi. You'll find players maybe cheaper or maybe just as expensive, but will have just as big an impact.
Can I ask if you would have preferred the Fabio Vieira signing or the Rafinha signing? Because you've got that over the line and he's a good player. Which one would you have preferred? Be real.
As a fan that has watched Rafinha play, I can't really talk about Vieira like that. I've not watched him play like that. So I could be saying Rafinha, but then I watch Vieira play and I go, okay, Vieira's a better player. But they're different players. Vieira's interior, he plays in the midfield. And if you would ask Arsenal fans their priorities going into the window, it was a new striker, a new number 8, and maybe a new like left-back option because Tierney's injured. And to be fair, we've signed Vieira, a number 8, who can play as a wide player as well. We signed Jesus now, should be announced tomorrow. He's a striker. And the left back, we're pushing for next to Martinez. So those are the priorities. Then you get to the, I won't say backup players, but squad depth. But obviously, unless that happens as well. But you see Arsenal pushing for their priorities here. So Rafinha was never a player that we went into the window as fans going, we have to sign that player. It was just one that came about because reliable reporters were saying that Arsenal had interest. So fans got excited. Obviously, you know how football fans work. When they see a player get linked, it's about compilations and edits and so and so. Got a bit overexcited. But I don't think I see Arsenal fans saying it was done. Some ITKs were saying that. I think the one that's always kind of been done is Jesus. So, yeah, listen, it is what it is. If he goes to Barcelona or Chelsea, I think it'll be a good signing. But I'm not too, like, depressed about it.
Am I the only one here, yeah, that's not too keen on players that can't make their mind up?
Yeah, I was going to say that as well.
Am I the only one? Because I don't think that's a good sign.
It's their career, though, isn't it? It's their career.
I know, I hear you, bro. It is. But, I mean, firstly, clubs should know who they want way before the window starts, yeah? And secondly, the players should kind of know where they're going. And if they're flip-flopping over... With Rafinha, if he goes Arsenal, he's starting, innit? Right? Yeah, whereas with the other ones...
I think Barcelona. was his first option anyway.
No, Barca. Oh, yeah, is.
But, I think Liverpool was his first option. To be fair,
but I've seen Chelsea fans complain about this today. Sorry, I've seen Chelsea fans complain about this today. Oh, he's not our preference. You know, he doesn't want to bleed blue for the badge. Listen, Cesc Fabregas wanted to join Arsenal, yeah? And Arsenal didn't bid. And then we took him. And then at the end of his Chelsea career, he's crying, walking off the pitch after getting his name sung and winning two Premier League titles. I've also seen Lukaku come in and tell everybody he loves Chelsea. And then look what he did. I'm not interested in what these players' preferences are. This is not my settings on my laptop. I don't care. All I'm interested in is what you do on the pitch. You don't have to support the club. You don't have to wear the shorts. You don't need to have the posters in your room. Pepe supports Chelsea. He plays for Arsenal. I do not care. Just come to the club. If you do come to the club, play the football, do the business. At the end of the day, this is life. Everybody's got preferences. Do you know what I'm saying? If you get a job, if you get free job offers, you have your preference. Say if you don't get your first option, you do your second option. It's not the end of the world. It doesn't mean that you're suddenly going to be unprofessional at your new club because... Come on now, you got World Cup, you got ambitions, you're getting paid, you want to put up statistics, etc. So I'm not really bothered about no one's preferences, to be honest. Bernardo Silva's preference right now is to play for Barcelona. It doesn't mean that it's going to happen.
Rafinha's got a preference, though. Rafinha's got a preference. We already know that he's a Greek person who signs to Barcelona. He wants to go to Barcelona. The problem is Barcelona can't afford him.
Yeah. Is that exactly? And, you know, Kane's preference last season was City. Kane still took his time to turn up, but he did eventually turn up. Bernardo Silva had a great season. His preference was Barca. Yeah, so just my point is that no matter what your preference is, I don't think fans should get overly emotional and say, oh my God, he doesn't want to play. Listen, there's a lot of players that we're linked with that don't want to play for us. Everybody wants to play for Barcelona. Lewandowski, Koulibaly, they all want to play there. They can't all play there.
He probably thought Tuchel's playing about wing back.
I mean, yeah, but not hard.
Beyond don't want to play for United, and look what's going on there. They're still bidding for
him. Well,
What I'm saying is, look. Arsenal have obviously very clearly identified Rafinha as a major target, yeah? They were looking to pay 40 million, something like that, Babs, for him?
50
million, yeah? They were willing to go up to 50 million, okay.
Yeah.
That's obviously, look, despite what Arsenal fans say and what Babs says, we know that's a blow. That's a blow. Being pipped at the last minute is a blow. Saeed, how much of a blow is it, though? Because, and we've discussed it before, that, exactly, because 50 million, that could easily be spent elsewhere in that squad. And they've got gaping holes, in my opinion, are bigger holes to fill.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, I agree. I think they've got, if they're looking at this, Lisandro Martinez, I think they've got to act quick because Man United are coming for him now if they kind of flop it. I think, you know, the midfield is where they're kind of the gaping holes are for me. Partey, I'm not saying it's injury prone, but it's not reliable.
You're covering him. 100%.
Sorry? Yeah, exactly.
You're covering him. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, then you've got Elneny again. You know what I mean? He's useful in certain areas, but you need that dynamic midfielder. And I think in that double pivot, you need that more. I don't know what's happening with the Tielemans link. Is that kind of died down? I don't know what's going on there. But for me, it's cover a left-back and a central midfielder. That's what they need. But again,
what do you want?
I think Rafinha was just more kind of... if he was available, Arsenal just thought, let's go and get him. I think this literally was that. If he's available... And he's kind of lingering around Chelsea, Arsenal, Barcelona. Arsenal, right, let's just check our chance here.
Yeah. And obviously, I think that's exactly what happened. That he's been waiting for the Liverpool move for way too long, and Liverpool have never put anything in front of him. So I think Arsenal tried to get in there first with putting something in front of him and seeing if he'd take it. But I think you're spot on. They need a left back, they need cover for Partey and
Tierney more than anything. They need more midfielders.
That's why Martinez is so important, because he can play in midfield, he can play as a left-back, and even a centre-back. Yeah. So with one signing, you address quite a lot of positions. You could argue very clearly that Rafinha isn't as important as a Martinez is. But as you said, it's opportunity, man. He was meant to go Barca. The fact that he agreed personal terms with Barca months ago says that he was going there. And obviously Barca anticipated Leeds to get relegated. Didn't quite happen. And that's why it's become financially not as doable. So I think right now, you're right, it wasn't as big a priority. It is a blow because he's going to Chelsea potentially. And that obviously you don't want to see. But apart from that narrative of him going to a rival club, in terms of the player and what he brings to Arsenal, I don't think it's as big of a season-ending blow and Arsenal can't recover kind of thing.
I think the pain.
Let him go, Barca.
I think the pain. I think the pain is always more when it's, as you said, going to arrive when the way it's happened. But you know what I mean? It is what it is. Tobes, in your opinion, what next for Arsenal? Where do they need to focus? I know they're not at the top of your concern list, so to speak, right? But you're not concerned for them. But what do they need to do now? Because now they've been, all right, move on from Rafinha. Let's assume, Babs, am I wrong to assume you're looking at two more signings realistically for the window? Or are you looking more, do you think?
I think three.
Three.
Martinez, Tielemans, and a wide forward.
No. We're assuming, Martinez, Tielemans, and a wide forward. Tobes, is that enough? Does that concern you as a, from a Spurs point of view? If they've done the business they've done?
To be honest, if we do our business, their business doesn't really concern me. But I think those three signings would definitely... I think those three signings will definitely go a long way to address a lot of the problems they had last year. 1,000% they need another attacker. Gabriel Jesus is a sick signing, but he is not enough. He's not enough. This is a team that have been struggling to score goals for the last, three, four seasons now. They need attackers. You saw how their attack died towards the end of last season. And Babs has actually spoke well about Arsenal, and I agree with him. I think left back is a priority, but I also think they need a right back. They need someone to cover Tomiyasu because Cedric isn't good enough. And I think in midfield, I would have heard Tielemans, because I like Tielemans, I rate him. I think I would have understood the Tielemans signing had they have not signed Fabio Vieira. But from what their fans are telling me, Fabio Vieira is a more sort of offensive-minded midfielder anyway. So if I'm an Arsenal fan, I'm not looking for another midfielder to sort of progress the ball and look forward. I'm looking for a midfielder to cover for Thomas Partey, because Elneny is not good enough. Lokonga is not good enough. They're not good enough. And when Thomas Partey broke down towards the end of last season, look at how they struggled. The games that mattered, the big games that mattered, they got pammed physically. They didn't have anyone in the midfield capable of taking the reins of that midfield and just seeing them through these matches. In Newcastle, they got pammed to dust. Spurs, they got pammed to dust. So for me, I think they have to 1,000% do something about that Thomas Partey position. Even if he doesn't get injured, the fact that, like, at any given point, that's the level of impact that they have when Partey's not in the team. It's dangerous, and teams are going to exploit that all day long.
But Tobes, the other thing is, when no one's speaking on Xhaka, and firstly, I do rate Xhaka. I'm not saying Xhaka's bad yet, but all of a sudden, it's like a lot is relying on him. Is relying on him. And like not long ago, people wanted rid of him. And now it's like that whole area is relying on Xhaka, because I don't think Partey's going to play. I mean, what do you guys honestly think?
Are you talking about Saka or Xhaka?
He's talking about Xhaka.
Sorry. I was thinking, they want to get rid of Saka. I was like, what's going on?
No, we're not. We'll keep it Saka.
Yeah, I was going to say, man.
Well, you're keeping Saka for now, but I mean, watch that contract.
For now. Okay, say that.
Oh, for now.
What's the
killing me, man.
What's the fans' perception? Yeah, 2 seconds, bro.
Go on.
No, I'm good.
Yeah. So what I was going to say was, like, on the Partey point, yeah, because I do my research because we talk football here. This guy hasn't played more than 25 league games in each of the seasons he's been in the Premier League. So if your best midfielder is missing 12 games per season in a Premier League season, that's a big problem for Arsenal. Mm. That's a really big problem for 12 or 13 games, league games per season. That's a big problem.
So is that one of the positions that you're worried about, Babs? Are you worried about that position, that Partey, Xhaka, stroke Lokonga, them three realistically being your DMs for the season? Are you comfortable with them three going into the season, that you'll be okay?
I wouldn't quite classify Xhaka as a six, because he's not played there for Arsenal. Maybe in the midfield too.
Yeah, I would as well.
But Partey, definitely, because I think he was right, because with Partey in the team, we averaged, like, was it 2.3 points per last season or something like that? 2. So we were a far better team with him, and without him, it was a lot worse. But you also have to factor in that without Partey, it also coincided with injuries to all of our other key players. Like, Tini got injured, and Ben White was injured, and Ramsdale was injured for a period of time as well. Other players got injured, so the entire team collapsed. So he's right in the sense of Partey is the fundamental factor as in a midfield three. But also, when you add up squad depth of other positions, if a party was to get injured, and let's just say a Xhaka was playing there, or Lokonga or El Neni was to play there, if the rest of the team is still at a good level, we won't collapse like last season. You go to Newcastle away and Ben White wasn't fit, he started. Gabriel wasn't fit, he started. Cedric was our right back. Tomiyasu started that game and he was injured. So what it is the squad depth. That's what cost us the top four last year, in my opinion. And I think he's right. Thomas Partey is very important and we should get a six back up. But I believe signing Martinez is probably what Arteta's looking at as. He can play as a six, as a left back and a centre back.
I think
also, that Zinchenko link, isn't it? Zinchenko.
Zinchenko made so much sense. I'm not going to lie.
Zinchenko's not a six though. He's an eight. He would more rather play as a...
But Arteta's copied the mold, isn't it?
Of course he is. Yeah. We're Diet Coke version of Man City.
He's like the worser version of David Alaba when he played left back and then he wanted to play in like cam for Austria. But if you was to miss out on Martinez to Manchester United, because Ten Hag and Ajax and De Jong and the Dutch link, at what point do you have to be like, okay, who's the next option then? Because you don't want to miss out on too many targets where you're like, this is what we want, because you don't want to start compromising on what you actually want from certain players. Martinez is a player that seems to cover. I haven't watched loads of him, but he seems to be covering all the positions that you kind of lack depth. So then if you miss out on someone like that, who is the next guy up?
I think with Martinez, because you get that one player that has three positions, you would then need to identify specialist players in each position. So it's maybe sign two players instead of one. So maybe Zinchenko as a left back, midfield option, and maybe an actual number six who can play as a centre back as well. Maybe something like that. But that's why Martinez is so important. Because if we sign him, he fills in the positions and you have this all-in-one player, Swiss Army knife. And that's why it's just so important, especially to Man United as well. And I think I heard a report today from, was it Ben Jacobs?
Yeah,
and
he
was
saying
that we had advanced the deal and that we are by far the most advanced team in the negotiations. Mm. But Man United are dangerous. They've got money to spend. But I think they have to get De Jong done first, which you have to agree personal terms with him. Was it Malasia? Something like that. He's signing as well.
Malasia
as well. So I'm concerned about United, having seen with Rafinha as well. But I think that deal should get done, hopefully.
Is he a start for you, Martinez?
But Martinez, do you know what? I actually argue we could see Tierney displaced next season. Because Martinez... And
that's not a far-fetched, man.
Why is that
surprised, man? The guy's
because Kieran Tierney is a fantastic overlapping fullback. If Kieran Tierney played for Liverpool, who have these all fullbacks that bomb forwards, he'd be fine. But for Arsenal... And Arteta that wants to play in a inverted system. This is Zinchenko, Walker at City. We've got Tomiyasu, who can do that. Tierney's not that level of an inverted left back. That's not his fault. That's just not how he's made. So I could argue that, in certain games or most games, you might see Martinez take over Tierney's position and play as that inverted left back, but then also play a midfield as well. So yeah, I think he would start.
But who says he's going to start? Who says Arsenal going to sign Martinez though? And I'm not saying you are, but I'm
they're
just
the most
saying,
advanced. Is what he's
we're the most
say.
Advanced in it. So it's if we sign Martinez. I'm not saying we will sign Martinez, but if we sign Martinez, I believe he would start for Arsenal. Maybe not sometimes straight away. Players take time to adapt, especially from Ajax. But I think he's just so good technically, man. He makes a lot of sense in so many ways. And I can see
your
why
manager needs to be telling him he's starting. Otherwise, he's going United, by the way.
But
the player has been keen for a while. David Ornstein said that the player is keen to join Arsenal. So that must have been a conversation they've had. Like, you'll come to Arsenal, you'll play minutes. And he wants to move to the Premier League, which is why Man United is obviously a risk. And Ten Hag as well. But I don't think he's the player United need. They need probably more of a taller centre-back. Because for Arsenal, he won't play as a centre-back as many games.
They're
signing one in Malasia.
And we're signing one in Malasia.
So it isn't...
Okay, they need a lot. They need a lot.
They need more of a timber profile. Yeah. So someone could play right-back and centre-back.
Has he not played in a pivot with De Jong at Ajax, though, at some point?
No, he has played. He can play midfield. Yeah, you're right.
So Man United need that, arguably, as well. For me, the question that nobody's asking that has to be asked, especially when there's an Arsenal fan on here that's never been on here, I need to be knowing... If you guys get everybody you need to get, do you have to get top four? Is it or is it lights out?
Don't ask them that question, man.
That's not a question to be asked.
Wait, how do you know that was not my next question? That was my next question. How do you know that?
Yeah, because you're an Arsenal fan. You're an
Arsenal fan.
You tried to stop.
You've got Arsenal wallpaper behind him.
So I have to make, look, is that not Arsenal in the background? Who's that? Let me see that.
Shut up, I just muted you. I just muted him. Shut up.
What's going on here? No, what's going on?
It's a Red Premier League title. It might be in it.
Okay, so listen, this was my final question because we've got to keep it moving. We don't want to keep it like just the Arsenal show. So look, we're going to keep it moving because look, they're going through a bit of distress, right? Transfer targets, loads, hype merchants, whatever it is, We know Arsenal get giddy in the transfer market. They win every transfer market. They get hyped. When they're not playing Arsenal, the greatest team in the land, we know this. Once the
top of the league starts, right now. So,
but once the season starts, Babs, let's cut to the chase. What is your expectations? Let's have it on camera, roll, film, whatever you want to call it. What is your expectation if you get every single player that you're targeting? Because what we heard is you're targeting 3 more players. You get those 3 players, whoever they are, fuck it. You get those 3 players, what's your expectations for the season? Let's have it.
It's top 4. And not just top 4, like in sense of scrape it last day. I want to see a convincing top 4 next year. I want to see us, you know, kick on a little bit, progress to the next level. You know, last season, I thought progress from the season beforehand by investing in the team. They're doing again this year, the same thing. So if you invest again, you get the profiles that you require with Jesus and co. There is no excuse as to why Arteta shouldn't get top 4. And this is coming from a fan that has backed Mikel Arteta and wants to see him do well at Arsenal. So I think every Arsenal fan should be saying the same thing. Top 4 is the target. And on top of that, I want a trophy as well, but that's just a preference. But yeah, top 4 should not be a debate for Arteta next season. And if he doesn't get it, then I'll be the first one to say he deserves to go.
Who drops out?
Fair play to that.
Who drops out?
No one drops out, man.
You can't predict who drops out. The chat window's not
people,
open.
Yeah, people,
too early, I just needed to hear that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we heard it.
Why don't you just message on Twitter?
Because Twitter Babs is different, you know.
Twitter Babs is different.
Look, if you watch my channel, you'd realise I'm a lot more level-headed. When if you watch me on Twitter, you know, Twitter's just, it's Twitter, innit? It's not serious.
Twitter's Twitter, man.
But you realise, because of what you say on Twitter, I'm reluctant to watch your channel. That's why.
But Toby, you know Travis Scott on Twitter. The way you cap. So listen, this
are you going to be at the gig?
Your Twitter, you're triggering Chelsea fans.
If you came to a Travis Scott gig, you get flung in the air because you're a skinny little git. Yeah.
Flung in the tree.
Listen. Half an hour into the show. Perfect.
Segue. Give him a timeout, man.
No. He's okay at the moment. There's 5,000 of you in here. 5,000 of you in here. Big up every single one of you. Smash that like button. And a wicked segue into these brothers' channels as well. Because Toby was just messing. You know what I mean? Babs has got more YouTube subscribers than everyone in the world put together. But still big up Babs every time. So go and follow Babs' channel. Of course, my brother Saeed. Man like Babs, everyone's channel is in the description. Go and hit subscribe to everyone's channel, big up themselves. And of course, we have to shout out our sponsors, FM London. People, 10% off all men's. What are you smiling for, Toby? You know I'm reading this right, innit? 10% off all men's items. Fuckery you, man.
Yeah, but to apply the pressure today.
He can't do shit. He knows I don't do pressure, man. 10% off all men's items. The link is in the description. Go and support FM London, our sponsors. Every time, big up FM sponsors. Hold on, man. One of you just sent me a private chat. Yeah, I'm doing it, man. Innit? Relax, innit? I'm doing it. Lord have mercy.
You saw that before.
Yeah, exactly. I've done it before. But people, I think it's only fair if we're speaking about Rafinha and where he was supposed to go and everything. Now we need to go to where he was supposed to go. And looks like he's going, which is Chelsea. Talk to me from your point of view now, Matisse. What are you saying? So now it looks like it's out of you and Barcelona. Are you stressing now? And is he a priority for you? Because it looks like you're going for a whole revamp of your attack.
Yeah. No, as we should be. I'm not stressing because they haven't bid. Do you know what I'm saying? They have to bid and they have to equal our bid, or unless Leeds are going to do some Fugazi thing, or Deco's going to, I don't know, like accept the bid himself because he seems to be trying to push it. But at the end of the day, we bid 60, I think is including add-ons, 65 or 60 million. And from everything that I know, Barcelona can't afford that. Barcelona didn't even register Christensen yet on a free transfer. I think he's somewhere chilling out.
Where is he, by the way?
He's walking in Milan looking for a club, asking AC Milan if they need any spare centre-backs. Do you know what I mean?
I don't even know if Kessie's even registered.
This team are so jarring because everybody wants to join them, but it's not possible. Like they literally physically cannot sign you. So
economic lever? They get their first installment basically of the money apparently tomorrow.
Bro, this is just mad. Installments, you know, like you're gonna get your transfer budget in installments. What is this? Like for real, at this point, I don't know what's happening with Barcelona, but it's crazy. I'm not really worried until they put in a bid. because they also want to keep Dembele, so they're negotiating a contract with him. I don't think they can keep both because obviously they're both playing on that right flank. So whoever stays at Barcelona or whoever goes to Barcelona, we get the other one because we're linked with Dembele as well. And obviously there's that Tuchel connection. So I'm not really worried in that sense. And I like Rafinha. I think out of all the attackers we've been linked with, he's the one that kind of like fits everything the most for me because he's durable. You know, he's obviously from a very hard-working system in that Bielsa mold from Leeds before he was sacked. But then he's also got the end product. He's got the quality. He creates, he scores. And I think he can be versatile. I know I've seen little inklings from Ornstein that he might be at right wing back. And people laugh at that very quickly because they say, oh, what? Tuchel, he's a criminal. I don't want him at wing back. I'm not advocating for it. But I keep saying we don't play with wing backs the way everybody else thinks we do. Do you know what I mean? Our wing backs push up as wingers. They're literally, we attack with five, we defend with five. So I've seen many a time Alonso at the back post scoring goals. He's a winger. Do you know what I mean? I've seen Reece James putting in the numbers he's put in this season. He's at times a winger. So our wing backs are not always playing in defense as sometimes Saeed likes to portray with the sitting at the back. Do you know what I'm saying? But I'm hoping that we do change formation. Yeah, listen, I'm hoping that we do tweak our formation a little bit and we do maybe move to a four and commit a few more people forward because I do want to see Rafinha on the touchline but in his favoured position on that right flank, which I think he'll also be in at times as well. I think, you know, maybe if it's an emergency, he may have to be a wing-back. I don't know. We've played wingers there
before. Let me ask you a question. Do you reckon Chelsea will spend the money on Rafinha and Sterling? Is it a case of one or the other? Or is it both?
It's both. Because at the end of the day, Lukaku's come off the wage bill. That's a lot. That's like 325k, whatever it is. Then Werner is meant to go, or Ziyech, if not both. Both of them linked with moves to Italian clubs on loan. And reportedly, it's about around 100 million we're ready to spend on the attack. So around about two players. Unless Dembele's free, his wages are a lot higher. We have to bring in attackers. Like I've said it so many times. We have to take our L's with the attackers that we've brought in. And at the end of the day, we can talk about other parts of the team 100%. We need a revamp, as I've said. But the attackers are very, very limited up top. And they
very quickly, quickly. I agree with you. But guys, I don't know what you guys think. Mm. But the attackers that I would have thought you need are more finishers.
We do need finishers.
Sterling, to me, is not a finisher. He's a creator. He's a gem of a creator. He's a bad boy when it comes to creating chances. He's not a finisher. I don't see him making that difference in your team. Okay, go on.
If you get a number nine, he will.
But that's my point. That's what I'm saying.
But you need the number nine. You get the number nine. Numbers don't lie. Sterling will also add goals. You don't. It don't make sense.
I'm not as high on Sterling as Toby would be. I saw the way he tried to cook Sam and Anita on his show. I'm not as high as him on Sterling. I think Sterling is definitely going to improve us 100%. But I do agree with you. His finishing is, for me, not. I know the numbers tell you otherwise, but I don't think he's not a consistent, like, dependable finisher. I think he can get goals if you give him high quality chances. He's in the box, cutbacks, back post, whatever have you. Well, there's a few nice goals in there as well, but I wouldn't rely upon him in situations where you're not expected to score to then go and score, not like a Son or a Mane, etc. However, we need both. You know, we don't finish, but we also don't create enough opportunities. If you watch us against low blocks, at home in particular, we really struggle to create. Outside of the wingbacks, we're pretty predictable and quite passive. So we need people that can take players on. I've said it before. We do lack a few dribblers in our team. Pulisic is meant to be that guy. It's inconsistent. Ziyech can't go past players. He's more of a standing start kind of player. So I think Rafinha and Sterling, the fact that they've got acceleration, they can go past players, they can take players out of the game, and you don't always have to score the perfect goal in that sense because you're getting rid of defenders just from sheer 1v1 situations. That does excite me 100%.
But then, you know, keeping that in mind, though, would you rather than have Sterling or would have had Jesus, like, in terms of them profiles?
I like Jesus. I can't lie to you. I think that's a very, very good signing for you. Jesus is a player where I think he could definitely play all across the front, which is why I really liked him, because Sterling, I don't really want to see Sterling in the false nine, whereas or in the striker role, whereas Jesus can definitely play down the middle. But Jesus has also been really good for City down the right as well. I think Sterling is obviously a better dribbler. He'll go past players better for me or more consistently. But Jesus, I feel like he's got another gear to go with his finishing. I know he hasn't put the ball in the back of the net as often as you might want him to. When he's coming into Arsenal, you guys are saying we need about 15 goals, whatever. I think he can get 15 goals in your team. And I think he could have got 15 goals in our team. I think there's another gear to go from him, you know.
I want to ask Daps, who's obviously the best equipped to speak about Sterling and Jesus. Daps, which signing suits which club? So Bavs has got Jesus and Matisse looks like they're getting Sterling. Does those two players, from your watching them like on a weekly basis, or would you think swaps would have been better?
Based on what they've bought so far, both of them suit Jesus better. Based on what they have bought so far, you get a number nine and that changes Sterling completely. But you need a number nine. Without a number nine, I'd take Jesus every single time. But you need a number nine. The numbers do not lie. Look at Sterling's numbers when Aguero was there. His numbers were like up with the best in the world. The minute Aguero left, his numbers have dropped. You need a number nine. He finds pockets of space that number nines leave. That's what he does. So without that, and that's what my trouble with Chelsea is at the moment, that if they're thinking Sterling, Havertz, and then whoever they get on the right, it don't work for me. Rafinha, they need a number nine. That would have been better keeping Lukaku if you want to play Sterling.
No. There's no situation where Lukaku stays. No.
They want him out, man.
No, R9, man. I saw the video, Matisse, man. You know,
R9. Don't remind him.
This is probably a good time to go into some of the super chats. So we're going to stick on Chelsea yet because there's a few still things. Babs has brought up something nice there. So we're going to still stick on that for a couple of seconds still. So we got a super chat from Eric Becker. He says, Ake to Chelsea. We're going to discuss that. Oba says, Langley, he will curse your already dead club. We're going to discuss that as well. Bastoni to Gavidal to Longley, because apparently that's breaking our Longley, yeah?
You know what? That is actually funny, that, you know.
Oba against Open Your Eyes, Saeed. Man is sleepwalking on the thing, man. I'm awake, man.
What are you on about?
Exactly. I don't know what he's talking about as well. Big Steve in the building says, Toby still constipated from Glastonbury. 6 mile hike to the bog. I don't want to hear that story again. I don't want to hear that shit. Yeah. This ain't the platform for that shit. Literally, pardon the pun. AA sends in a super chat, says Tobes, leave my guy Babs alone. Ma, you paid 100 million for Lukaku for him to be loaned out, paying his salary for next season, yet you lot laugh at us. Come on, you Gunners. Yeah, I knew that. My son sings it.
Of course you do, man. You're an awesome fan.
Yeah. Mish says, Langley, really what we need at Spurs? We're gonna come to Spurs. I might as well just get the super chats out of the way. Richarlison to Spurs. We're going to talk on that as well.
Babs, you know.
Options FC, Tommy says, are forgetting who their manager is, Tobes. No one wants to play for Arteta. Big up all my Spurs dons in the chat. Babs get hella views. Toby is wash. Relax, B. Bob Marley says.
Why are you reading that, man?
Bob Marley, innit, man? What are you saying, man? Bob Marley, you got to read, you know what I mean? Chicago Hotspur says, my cousin's girlfriend... sister's friend went to school with Rafinha's cousin and they said Rafinha to Arsenal done, here we go. That's one of them resources, isn't it? That's one of them resources. But Zafir Sanity says Rafinha equals Ekinsu. Okay, that's one of them Love Island
jokes. Ekinsu.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so, you know what I mean? But we're hearing, the latest one is we're hearing Ake to Chelsea as well. We spoke about you need defenders. Is he the defender that you're looking for?
I'm not excited. You know, we were looking at Koulibaly. We were looking at even Bastoni for a swap with Lukaku involved in that loan. Who else has there been? There's been a few that have been a little bit more exciting and high profile than Ake. For me, 40 million. It's a lot. Do you know what I mean? I don't know how much City paid, but it feels like it was around about that. He's definitely not an upgrade on Rudiger. He's nowhere near Rudiger. So that's a big downgrade to pay 40 million for a big downgrade. Now, there's definitely a question to say that we wouldn't upgrade anyway. But then when I look at the intangibles of Ake, correct me if I'm wrong, Daps, I'm thinking to myself, there's no real leadership there as well. And if you're signing like a 27, 28-year-old, I'm looking for at least some leadership skills to patrol and lead the back line after Silva leaves at the end of the season. And I'm not getting that either. So I think Ake is a good player. Yeah, he's versatile. Yeah, you know, he's. I think he's a decent player, but I don't think he's anything special, if I'm honest to you. And I think 40 million, when you could maybe get someone else that's actually top tier for 60 or 55, I'd rather just pay the extra. But it seems like we're hell bent on going with a left footer as well. We want a left footer for that role. The only thing I will say about it is that it's not always the flashy big name signers that do the business. If you look at obviously Liverpool, you know, they've signed a lot of players from. And I'm not saying that, you know, Ake was from Bournemouth. Now he's coming from Manchester City. But there was a lot of players that came from the lower parts of the league that maybe did something. So I'm not excited about him. I don't know, Daps, what you thought of him this season.
Yeah, we got him for 40 million still. This season, he warmed into it, to be honest with you. The end of the season, by the end of the season, he was playing well. He went through some stuff as well earlier in the season. It's a weird one for me as well, because we showed at the end of the season where we were really relying on Fernandinho playing as a centre-back. We need four centre-backs, right? Mm. So if it's just 40 million, I don't get why we're selling him, to be honest with you. I don't, like, because we bought him for 40. What are we just saying? You know what? He's not going to fit, so let him go. And then we have to go into the window and find another one, and we're trying to do our business early, which to me... But Pep must have a plan. There must be a plan in there. Otherwise, it seems like the people we're getting rid of are people for a reason. And when you start thinking about Sterling, makes a lot of sense. We bring in Cucurella, that makes massive sense. Because when we have Mendy, we would never play Mendy and Sane together, right?
Yeah.
Because Mendy holds the width.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to think, okay, that's why he wants rid of Sterling now, because he's going to play Cucurella if we get him, which I think's nailed on. But the Ake one just seems weird to me, because I feel like we're going to have to dip into the transfer window. And if we're seeing you struggle to find centre-backs, why do we want to get involved in that?
There's centre-backs out there, though. That's the thing. There's a lot of centre-backs out there. This is why I don't really get Ake, because...
I do with
it's
you,
not like Serie A's glittered with centre-backs.
Rabali is there for 30 million.
I don't want us to sign centre-backs that are glued in for back three. Can you trust him in a back two? Because if you can't trust him in back two, that's a problem for me, because at some point, you're going to need to switch Ake.
A run of games with the right player next to him, you can, 100%. I trust him. Beginning of the season, I wouldn't have been so sure, but now I trust him. 100%.
I just think it's a bit ironic that we're going for someone that was from our academy to potentially start over someone that's extremely talented in our academy, who again may get unsettled because of this, and then we just go into the same trap. It's like Pogba going from Man United to Juventus
for
free,
then
bring him back
academy?
And get rid of him for free again. Levi Colwill. So I'm not. I want competition for him. I don't want him to start. But again, I've seen it with Tomori. I've seen it with Gerhi coming from the Championship. Now they're brilliant centre backs in top divisions. I'm not really trying to see this type of player ahead of him in the pecking order.
Is that
like
the owner
someone,
negotiating that?
Someone
well
elite
for Nathan Ake.
The owner is the sporting director at this point. He's negotiating everything. He's killing it.
I think we talked about, didn't we? In terms of, is that the right method for the owner to be discussing deals? I'm not sure.
There's a limited amount of time. Like we can't do everything at once. We need a sporting director. We've been linked with Edwards, which is obviously
Arsenal United. They can't do everything at once as well. Trust me.
But we can't do everything at once. We can't expect a sporting director to come in here and do all the tasks that a sporting director does in lead up to a window. When the window's open right now, we need players right now. So we have to.
But equally, it's a risk. You know, the other way,
it's a risk.
You know what I mean? Equally, it's a risk. Yeah.
Think the market would turn him inside out?
No, but it eliminates the process of like having to get stuff approved from the board and stuff, because he's the guy, he owns a club, he can just go, right, here's the money, done.
I hear you, but that's dangerous as hell.
I'm going to ask Matisse the same question I asked Babs. If you're, A, what else needs to be done in your opinion? And if that gets done, what's your expectations now, if that gets done for the season? I don't want a prediction. We're doing the predictions later on in the season, but later on in the month. But what's your overall expectation roughly?
I want two centre backs, wing back, DM, two forwards. It's that deep. That's how much we need. And if we get all of that, I've said it before. It's an overhaul. It's an overhaul.
Agreed.
It's an overhaul. And at the end of the day, this is a squad mixed up of many different managers, and it's time to change that. So there's a lot of players that I want that need to leave. I want them to leave. So Bro, we don't have all day, bro. You got this weird Callum Hudson-Odoi fetish, bro.
Let me
every time I speak on Chelsea, you want to hear about Callum Hudson-Odoi. Relax.
Name the players. It's not just Cho. Name the players in your attack who you want to get rid of.
Why the attack? Why not the whole team? What's your?
Because you said you don't have enough time to name the whole team. So I said,
bro, Pulisic's not going anywhere, bro. He's American. We got American owners. We got an American talk.
I asked Matisse, why are you jumping out? I simply asked you to say. If you
you've heard this before, way. I've told you these names before. You ask me the same question every time I speak to you.
If you had it your way, which attackers are you getting rid of this summer? Just answer the question.
If I had it my way, so Lukaku's already gone. Werner. Yep. That's two attackers, and I want two attackers in. After that, probably, if I had to pick, maybe Ziyech, if I had to pick. Or Hudson-Odoi out on loan and keep Ziyech. Then in midfield, I'm looking at...
Oh, so you're keeping Pulisic?
Yeah, because, bro, I just told you Pulisic's not going anywhere. Pulisic doesn't have to start. He doesn't have to be a starter. If Sterling's coming in, Sterling starts and Pulisic's on the bench.
I got
yeah, I know you. I know you've got this big thing with Pulisic. I don't know what your problem is with Pulisic. You got some big beef. I don't know what's going on with you and Pulisic. See, look, he doesn't even want to hear the rest of the names. I told you, all he wanted to hear was Pulisic's name. I don't know what it is with you and Pulisic. You got some sort of weird...
I just wanted to hear the names that you guessed up.
Right, you
I like the word Shai Havertz.
Yeah, you can keep liking that name in your sixth position, bro. Your big stat pad of Bruno Fernandes. At least Bruno Fernandes isn't shy, isn't it? Yeah, best midfielder in the world. He's not shy.
Why are you so triggered, man? If they don't mean anything to you, you don't need to be triggered, man.
Yeah, but bro,
I just said I like the word shy.
I keep telling you about Kai, bro. Kai stood up on the biggest stage that you could possibly step up on. And then when it comes to your player in the Europa League final, he went missing. So I don't know
Champions
why
Champions League is gone, you know, yeah, Matisse. You know, Champions League is finished.
And so is the success. So is the success for your team. You're finished.
Can we stop the triggering? Can we stop the Matisse? Before we move on, can you talk to us about Lukaku and this 90 shirt number business? Like, what's that meaning? Like, what's going on over there with Inter Milan?
The way I've said it in my tweet is that I personally believe that that is the money that they scammed out of.
I mean, that is mental. If that's what they're playing,
that's not the reason. I don't think that's the reason. But
if what that's how they're playing, exactly, Babs. I don't know what else could be the reason. That is the most shithouse.
Man said Chelsea, yo, hold that. My 90 mil took it.
90 mil, you know, Inter Milan. You must be fuming with that, no?
I've muted his word on Twitter. Do you know what I mean? I've muted his name. We move. Do you know what I mean? He's gone now. He's lied on the balcony to Zhang, saying that he's going to promise him that he's going to do this, that, and the third. Listen, we had him twice, and they've now had him twice, so they're going to find out as well, just like us. Hopefully, he does well though, so he leaves.
That's a madness. Yeah, that's a madness.
It's all mad. Let me not say nothing else. That's it.
That's Man City. Seems that, as you said, for you guys, a little bit of a upheaval in terms of a lot of squad players going out. Obviously, Sterling.
You'd love to see his upheaval. Upheaval.
Let me word it, innit? Let me word it. So a lot of squad players seemingly wanting to go or going or being released, whichever way you want to word it, yeah? They're going, right? Jesus, squad player, Sterling. I think it's fair to say a first teamer. Yeah, you know, man scored 100 goals for you.
Last season was the first team player as well.
Exactly. Again, now we're hearing Ake, who stepped in. Obviously, you know, when you got injuries, how are you feeling about the state of your squad, considering this is going to be one of busiest seasons in terms of league games? We're going to play the World Cups here. We've got 16 league games to play before the World Cup. 16 league games, 6 Champions League games, and 3 EFL Cups. You should be... Is your squad deep enough? Are you good with that?
I get told by everyone our squad's deep enough, so I'm fine. I'm more than fine. This is probably the longest summer we've had for about 4 seasons as well, to be fair. You know what? It's interesting. The dynamics at City seem to be changing, and I'm having to catch up with it with little things like Phillips wasn't sure. Then a few people say stuff about Phillips. I'm like, get it. Cucurella, Sterling wasn't sure, but now when I look at how we've played when we've had number 9s before, I get it. I feel like Pep is getting given a new armory almost, and I'm very, very happy. I saw a picture of our squad early on, and it is literally, people used to say you could put out 2 City squads and they could finish top. When I've seen it today, yeah, I agree with them. And I used to be like, no. But I've seen one today and I'm like, yeah. I mean, let's be clear, as we said earlier on, the transfer window is not shut yet, right? So there's a lot of changes. And someone that put one out earlier, Ake was still there, Sterling was still there, but Cucurella was there. So there's players that are going to come in and come out. I'm just watching it. It's interesting. We've got the two. Look, we've got Haaland and Alvarez over the line, which is going to be huge.
And Phillips, which is a huge one as
Phillips is as good as over the line, which is, yeah, that's an interesting one for me. But it's important because we needed a Fernandinho replacement. And I actually now get Phillips suits Haaland. I get it. The ball's over the top for Haaland to run on to get it 100%. Cucurella, everyone knows his numbers from last year. I think that will allow Cancelo to go right and start actually cementing himself on the right, and Walker starts stepping back. Cancelo, it all makes sense. The Ake is the only one that makes me think, right, we might have to delve in one more time. Because
who does that leave you at centre-backs?
Stones, Laporte, Diaz. We did give Mbappe a five-year contract, which is one of the youngers, which is quite interesting. Because what we're doing this window for the first time is we're actually starting to sell some of our youngers with buybacks. So not loan them out, we're selling them now. Whereas Mbappe, we've kept and given a five-year contract, which made me think, interesting. One of the few youngers that, apart from Cole Palmer, McAtee, like even Latvia is now being linked with Southampton with a buyback clause. It's like we're kind of not loaning them, we're selling them to players. It's like we're coming for your not spend FC trophy because we're starting to actually sell players at last. I'm very happy with our transfer window.
46 trophies behind, but still, you're catching up. You're gone.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Not triggered at all there, Chris.
Go on. I'm just a reply, man. I come on, my hostess with the mostest, innit? I've got to reply sometimes.
But it's got but chest now, man. Fair play.
What do you mean now? I'm coming to you next.
Oh, I'm excited for that one. Yeah. But, yeah, I'm happy with it. It's probably the first summer I've really had where my chest has got bigger, to be fair. And I'm not going gym, but it has got bigger because of last season. And now we've actually gone and bought firepower. We've bought a DM. We're buying a left back. There's not one City fan that can tell me that wasn't the only spots that we saw. And we're replicating them. So it's good.
I think the Ake one, I think I agree with you. I think you're going to go back into the market. We have to
for that.
I don't think you're going to rely on free centre-backs. I don't know. Guys, what do you think? Like,
no, absolutely not. You can't rely on free centre-backs for a season. That's
especially Stones, who's picked up a few muscle injuries. Laporte, serious injuries. Yeah. That one.
We've got rid of Fernandinho, who previously is covered there. So he's covered there now. So yeah. I do think...
unless Kyle Walker plays as the third centre-back and then you get Cucurella.
I've never seen Pep trust that one, ever. That's a Southgate.
No, but I'm saying it may be in the back three or something, or the possibility of this is like almost cover when you need...
Changing your whole... If you don't have enough centre-backs to play a four, you can't switch to a three. That's more players.
No, what I'm trying to say, my overall point was, I think Kyle Walker, if they don't buy a centre-back, will be that third centre-back. And then obviously... you've got Cucurella as well, so
but they will. They will. They have to. Yeah. They have to buy.
Well, they have to. But then again, who's in the market now, though?
Saeed, I hear what you're saying, yeah. But when we've gone out and got Haaland, Alvarez, Phillips, Cucurella, to then go, oh, but we'll settle with having Walker that can cover if need be. Saeed,
no, you don't want to hear that.
It wouldn't make sense, would it? If you're going and filling in properly in every position, to then go about centre back will settle with Walker would not make sense at all. So I trust my board, trust my manager. They must have summit to be letting Ake go. 40 million to me, if we do let him go for 40 million,
I think that's a lovely price. You know,
no, but we bought him for 40 million. If we sell him for 40 million, it literally seems like you know what, we tried it didn't work. If we can recoup our money, it's cool. But I think they must have summit up their sleeve.
I think you can get better than Ake, so.
I think they might. That's why they just want their money back. They might think the same, to be fair.
I think with the way Man City operate, I think we've seen it this summer. It's been one in, one out. Yeah, Fernandinho left. They brought in Calvin Phillips. Raheem Sterling's probably going to leave. They've already brought in Alvarez. Jesus has left or on the verge of leaving. They've already brought in Haaland. Mendy is Mendy, and they're looking to bring in Cucurella. I don't believe they're going to go down to three centre-backs this upcoming season, especially after the issues they experienced when they lost Kompany. And you saw the impact that had on their team. So I think Man City are probably the best in the league alongside Liverpool at navigating their way through these windows. Nobody saw Calvin Phillips coming. Bang, it was done. So I'm of a firm belief that if they sell Ake, there's definitely going to be another centre-back.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it just hasn't been linked yet.
I think the media just didn't ultimately expect the Ake one, so they haven't worked out what's going on yet. And soon enough, you'll see rumours flying all over the place. And you know what? It's just going to make the market worse for everyone else, because the minute City get thrown in there, prices are going to go up on everyone that United's...
There's a long time left of the window as well. Like, it closes in September.
Yeah, it is. But you know what it is, bro? We were doing our business early, and I like that. I like that. I don't want to be like United, where we started pre-season with Shaw and Marshall running around. It can't be like that. We want to start with our full squad.
There wasn't any need
for a banner saying 34 years, but it is what it is.
What are you saying about this one? Chances of Neymar to City. Would you take that?
No.
You wouldn't take it?
Nope. Not a fucking chance in hell.
You're bluffing.
Nah, come on, man.
I want to get to that level one day where I can say no to Neymar.
Are your club like you turning down that?
You're bluffing.
Imagine that. A club like us. I'm not bluffing. You think he suits Pep? Listen, I always tell City fans Pep would not take Sane back because of how shit his press was. There's no way Pep would take Neymar. Not a chance.
I'm with Dex.
I actually agree with you. I don't think he would. And he's also he's suffered a lot of injuries. Our teams, everybody else, like outside of Liverpool and City, from what they're doing, we would all take him because, you know what I mean? We ain't nowhere near the top.
But that's where you'd be going wrong, though. This is what we keep seeing preaching. This is where you'd be going wrong. And this is why he's getting bombed out. As soon as a serious coach is coming in there and go to it, he's getting bombed out. He's not a serious footballer, man. He's a serious talent. There's a difference between a serious talent, because he's serious talent. He's one of the he's insanely talented, ridiculously talented, but he hasn't reached the levels that his talent should have reached. Made him reach.
Come on, I think that's harsh. I disagree.
You could also say that at PSG, you can't build a team around him because you've got Mbappe as well. If you were to come to like a different team and you've just got Neymar as your best player and you build a team around him, then you can get away with it. Mbappe and Neymar and Messi, that's too hard.
Go on, Tobbs, you harshly disagree. Have your say about that?
No, I disagree that you say he's not maximised his talent.
Reached
his talent. I disagree that this guy's been carrying Brazil on his back since he was like 18 years old. This guy's won a Champions League for Barcelona.
That's mad disrespect to Brazil then, if you're saying he's carrying Brazil.
No, bro.
Mad disrespect to Brazil.
I don't think it is mad disrespectful. I think it's only in the last, I think it's probably only in the last maybe 3-4 years where Neymar hasn't had maybe the same influence he's had on Brazil because of the injuries that he's had. But if you look at the trajectory of this guy's career and what he's been doing since he came out of the jump, this guy has put Brazil on his back since the age of 18. Literally broke his back at the World Cup against Colombia. He was their best player in that 2014 World Cup. I'm sorry. For me, there are certain players...
Even at club level.
He came with a major reputation from Barcelona, I mean from Santos, and within a year and a half or 2 years, he had won the Champions League at Barcelona, and he was one of their best players, bro.
Do you know, I hear what you're saying about, when you look at that, you have to put it in perspective, that is a lot of pressure. I do get what you're saying on that 100%, and the way he's actually carried that pressure, when you actually deep that, yeah, I get it, but he was going to a Barcelona with Messi and Suarez, and Iniesta and Xavi still there, and a lot of... So,
but
it's a hard one.
I'm sorry, but like you say that, but he scored in every single knockout round en route to them winning that Champions League final. Not to mention that he scored the goal that basically sealed the Champions League against Juventus. Like I think we're seriously underestimating.
He's world class, man. He's world class.
Hold on. Let me finish. What are we underestimating?
I think you're underestimating what this guy's done in his career. I get it. The PSG move, he went to PSG.
If you're saying he has fulfilled his potential, yeah, that's because...
What's his potential?
That's what he's saying.
I just started, didn't it? So, like, if I start, I can finish?
All right, go on then.
All right. So, if you're saying he's fulfilled his potential, and I said his potential is, on a talent level-wise, comparable to the likes of Ronaldinho in terms of pure talent. If you're saying he's fulfilled his potential, then I think you're disrespecting his potential.
I'm not. I don't think I am disrespecting.
Because if you think that's his level and he's reached his level then he doesn't come into the top.
No, but
where is he? Where is he in the world elite levels? And if you're talking about Neymar,
he's up there.
He's right up there.
He's up there.
With who? With what? With achievements?
You're going to say Salah's better than him.
Bro, you're not even listening to what I'm saying, man. I'm going to come to you and I'm going to kill you for this that comment. Why are you bring Salah into it? You just wait right there.
That Salah comment was that Salah. Yeah, wait.
He knows, innit? He knows, innit?
Calma.
I wouldn't have that.
5 minutes, innit? 1 hour, 5 minutes, and you come for my. You wait, innit? Just wait.
That was asking you to make him some food, bro.
Toby, what I'm saying is you've just said he's fulfilled his potential. You said, because I said, I don't think he's fulfilled his potential, the talent that I think he has. You said that's harsh. Your counter-argument was, that's harsh. You think he has that means.
Yeah.
Then I think you're not rating his talent then, because I think he had the talent to be the world's best player. I don't think he's ever reached that level. That's my opinion.
So can I, so my rebuttal to that is, I think he had the talent to be at a point the best player in the world, but he's been playing his football in a time where Lionel Messi's been playing. So I think that's incredibly harsh. If Messi was playing when Ronaldinho was playing, Ronaldinho would not be the best player in the world. And I'll tell you that for facts. That's a fact. If Messi was playing when Ronaldinho was playing, Ronaldinho would not have won the Ballon d'Or. So
check this one out, guys. We got a wicked idea for the latest poll. You know how we done the other one? We're gonna do a Neymar poll. Has he fulfilled his potential? Yes or no? Simple. What do you think? We do that in the Big Six channel. Check that out, people. Make sure vote. Yo.
Chat to me.
Yeah, I'm chatting to you. We saying, have you got?
Look, I'm unsettled, man.
I'm calm. I'm calm. I'm in the driving seat. You know this, innit? Right now, I'm right in the driving seat. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, 1 week.
So. I'm gonna ask you simple questions, right? And you can elaborate. Yeah. You know, have you got anyone over the line worth any salt? Like I heard you went for Frankie de Jong, Eriksen. You went for Darwin Nunes. You got brushed aside from Liverpool.
No, that one was not clear.
Why chill?
It's not clear yet. Why are you making things up?
It's very clear. Like we're talking.
It's not very very clear, is it?
Well, you worship Fabrizio Romano. He said, "Yeah, man, late charge by Man United." But we said, "No. He's done. Forget him. He's going to Liverpool. Take a seat." But apparently, you have got someone over the line, some Feyenoord left back. Talk to us. You happy with that?
Well, I wouldn't even say that's over the line yet. He still has to decide where he's going. So
between who? Between who?
Sorry, Leon. But he's not chosen.
Leon and Manchester United.
Who's he deciding between?
I need to rephrase that.
Basically,
yeah, let him land, people.
Yeah, let me land, did it? So basically, he has apparently chosen United, but obviously still has to agree personal terms. If them personal terms are not met, then obviously the deal stalls, innit? So that's where I can't say that deal is done yet, because we haven't got that full confirmation yet. So right now,
he might choose Leon still.
No, listen, Daps, he's not choosing Leon because he's chosen United, but he needs to agree personal terms with Man United. So then, therefore, the deal is not done yet. Is that all right, Daps? Yeah.
I can rest every single night.
You know what I mean? It's always like that. We're always rattling these lot, but go on, Daps.
You're scored.
No, carry on. How much is he again?
Sorry? I think Malasia is about 13 million euros, which... it's not bad in this day and age. I personally don't know much about him. I'm not going to gloat him on here and say, I know Malasia, what he could do. He's young. He's obviously he's up and coming. He plays for Feyenoord. He used to play for Feyenoord, sorry.
Oh, so he's Dutch.
He's Dutch. So it's that link, innit? So I think Ten Hag has had his list. And I think one of them has been Malasia. So, you know what I mean? It looks like we're getting him. But again, like I said to you, there's more pressing issues at the football club. Then left back, even though I think it's one of the options where we need to go and get. There's more pressing issues. We still need to get over the line, De Jong. Arsenal over here are looking like... to be fair, that Jacobs report kind of threw me there because I was thinking, I had the under pressure that Martinez was getting. Basically, the deal's been hijacked and Man United were in pole position to make an improved offer than what Arsenal originally got. So I'm not going to lie, that has put a span in the works. So right now, it's getting De Jong over the line and then it's getting Malasia. Eriksen still is undecided. I don't know if he's listened to Chris Brown a lot, but he's still undecided. I don't know what's going on.
He's choosing between Brentford. You and
Brentford. Yeah,
Brentford, yeah. So he, at the minute, is not sure about that, which is fair enough when you look and think about his last stage of his career. It makes sense. But right now, that's where we're at, man. I'll be honest with you, that, there's not much going on, man. We're still waiting around. It's still get this De Jong deal over the line, and then it's the Malacia one. And then from there, there's not much going else on. We do need a lot of players. I would say up to five players we need in this transfer window.
Oh, right, you only need five players, boy.
Yeah, man, but surely the priority
would have been a new defensive midfielder.
Yes. But the problem is, though, this is the key question. A lot of people are saying the way Ten Hag wants to play, maybe we don't need a defensive midfielder. On the contrary, I believe in this Premier League year, I don't know what it is with me. Maybe I'm just old school and maybe I've just seen the Premier League for what it is. You always need that number six in there. It just gives you a bit of, you know what I mean? It just helps you sleep at night. You know, security, yeah.
I'm a fan of that, even if you don't have a defensive midfielder.
Even if you don't need one every game, just to have one in the squad. You need to have one in the squad.
There you go, man. Absolutely. But I'm led to believe that Ten Hag is going to be able to kind of change that culture. Maybe defensively we'll be able to have another system. And maybe if we keep the ball, then we don't need a defensive midfielder. But I think, you know what, you're naive to think that. I think a lot of fans are getting into this world that Ten Hag will fix everything in one season. That first season will be transition. That first season, Ten Hag will be learning the Premier League. So in that learning process, you're going to have to change system sometimes. You're going to have to maybe adopt a natural six and then play De Jong maybe further forward. You're going to have to change it about. I know there's a lot of emphasis on Ten Hag to maybe kind of be the saviour and there's going to be a new culture of coaching. But at the same time, it'd be naive to think that.
Can I just say, Saeed, this season's going to be, you're going to have to back up those words because let's be real, when shit hits the fan with Man United, you are quite emotional. So you're going to
go on. What do you mean?
He's talking about the vlogs.
I'm talking about
the content. What I'm saying is,
now, I'm very patient.
Eric, 10 months.
I don't think we'll finish the top four next season, but
okay. That's what I wanted to ask. All I wanted to ask is whether you are going to give this guy the time he needs.
Oh, massively. I gave Ragnick time. I never really called out Ragnick, even though he was interim boss. But in terms of Ten Hag, listen, mate, I've got his full respect. I think it's going to be a patient game. I'm not going to be calling any manager
I've got another question, though. Any danger in Ten Hag recommending any players who didn't come from the Eredivisie?
Listen, bro, this is the... You know this questionnaire, yeah? You know what? I like this question. That's why I'm going to praise you on this one. I'm sick to death with these. I explain, man. I'll be honest with you, man. I want us to kind of like look elsewhere, man. You know what I mean, bro? I get you want to go and get your best players from Ajax.
But isn't it? But you know how it's risky.
It's risky.
You know how you were saying to Matisse how it seems like the owner is doing all the buying and selling.
Yeah, you are
doing the total opposite and just giving free reins to Eric. What's his name? Ten Hag.
You see why this is different? Because in the past we've done things differently. We've kind of let, you know, I mean, maybe Ed Woodward do that a lot. Right now, Ten Hag said, right, I want these group of players in. John Myrtle, here's the list, and I want you to go and get them. So I feel like for me, it's almost as if he's thinking that he's, right, you need me here, and you're going to need my kind of expertise. Right, go and get me the players that I need. And he would have done that in the negotiations, not now, by the way. So when he was getting the job, he said, right, if you're not going to listen to my demands, then I'm not coming to the football club. So the demands were done at April. So, and Man United didn't have no choice. It was either do that or wait for Pochettino. Which one are you going to do? And which, at that point as well, they needed the fans' trust. This is when people were doing protests. It was going mad at Old Trafford, mate, and just around Man United. So it was at that point, Man United had to go and get Ten Hag, really, to build the trust of the fans. You know what I mean? So it was beneficial that they did that. But at the same time, I think it's a very, very risky move because Arsenal are not going to be bothered that. Oh, yeah, he played for Ten Hag. No, Arsenal are going to think what's beneficial to them. And right now, they're after Martinez because he can play different positions. So
can I just say with this Martinez one, man, as well, yeah?
What's the point of the Super Chat? Like,
I was going to say, United finish very quickly, Tobes, and then you go. Sorry. Yeah. United, because I get to read the Super Chats out when it's relevant. You know, I think it's a good way of doing it, you know? United finished 9 points above Newcastle last year, 11 behind Arsenal. Babs.
Yes.
By reading that out and by looking at the transfer activity of your club and their club so far, and they haven't done fuck all, and you've done quite a bit, you've got a lot to do, they've got a lot to do. Do you think they're any closer to you guys? How do you think? Are you going to rival with Arsenal? Because we know about your rivalry, yeah? It's a banter rivalry, really, now, isn't it? So it's just all about social media.
Family, we've both got more Premier League titles than you do, so just,
yeah,
just
you haven't got Premier League titles.
Come on. Well, you haven't got more Premier League titles than us.
Don't look down on Chris, man.
You got one.
I remember that you're going by Premier League because I can shout to you.
Yeah, no, Babs, you didn't want to reveal your age like that, man. You're not a kid anymore, man.
It was a Twitter thing.
Big boys talk about leagues titles, not just, you know, what the sponsor's name is. But listen, who do you think is going to finish above out of you two? Are you worried or are you thinking they're not doing enough where we're going to stay clear of them? Because to me, it seems that way. They haven't done enough at all.
I don't know, man, because they've got a better manager. So that's a start. They've got a manager that I rate. So therefore, they should be better than last season. I don't see an 11-point gap. They're going to sign players. So they're going to hopefully improve. Well, not hopefully, but they will improve as a team. So they will close the gap and they will be a better team next season. But
they have
Arsenal,
to be. They have
my
to.
Competition
really
isn't really Man United right now. My competition is more Tottenham and Chelsea. Because I think they're better teams. But I'm also wary that it's very stupid of me and naive of me to predict a transfer window until I see the players play. Because I remember last season for Arsenal's sake, right? We had signed all these players and no one rated them. And we came in and we actually, you know, improved as a team. While everyone expected us to finish, you know, like 8th and 9th. So United could improve next year and surprise people, depending on how Ten Hag does. I'm not worried about them. But you never know, innit? Like, if their signings do well, they come in and maybe Ronaldo catches form. And the system's the most important part. If they get structure in place, they've got some good players and they can be dangerous as well. But yeah, my bigger competition is Spurs and Chelsea.
I like that. I like that. I think that's the best segue into Spurs. The movers.
Are we stopping on United that easily? He got away with a lot.
No, what else are you going to say about them?
It's nothing worse. They're at that level.
I've got 34 years to make up for, but we can move. I mean, we can do it now.
But we can
talk about City fans. They're obsessed with Man United. Have you noticed, people? This is what I keep banging on about, man.
I mean, you had a banner for 34 years, like I said. So if we want to talk
this,
session,
look at this. Obsessed,
anyway,
man.
Good luck, man.
Obsessed with Man United.
I mean, agreed.
I thought
you're,
Steve
you're,
was bad.
You're, bro, your spokesman,
I thought Steve was bad, man.
Your spokesman.
He's always talking about Man United.
Talking
we got
about
this
your
one
manager being better than Pep. So your spokesman, yeah, right now.
Who said that? Listen,
Stockbridge.
I speak for myself. I don't give a shit what he says. I speak for myself, bro. So at the end of the day,
I'm just gonna read a few super chats, and then we get into the big shakers and movers in the transfer market. He says, Avi Troops sending a super. He says, don't worry, Tobes. Langley is just a backup. Relevant, because we're going to talk about it now. We will sign another centre-back. Alistair Gold said that. And we don't have to worry about, we have Conte, not Arteta. Toby is always about the repeat thing. Wanting Matisse repeating, Lukaku and Toby is doing, brother. That came showing the last thing. You can answer this quick question before you go into your monologue. Tobes, quick question for you.
He's obviously going to pick Kane.
In their current state, Neymar or Kane? I think Neymar is a better player than Kane. Yeah, I'm picking Neymar.
Okay. Saeed's been heavy implying Tuchel is overrated. Tuchel won the Champions League in his first year. Let's see what Ten Hag
does. Oh, my God. Matisse, did I say that?
Yeah.
I didn't say he's overrated, did I?
Listen, you cussed him out. I've seen enough Mank talk with you and Steve.
No,
don't
you
run
know
now.
What it is, yeah.
Just because Steve's not here, don't run. Don't run.
No, you know
I've seen
is,
you very comfortable on that sofa. So now
I feel like for me,
Mank talk, I don't
Tuchel's been
it.
Getting away with it. Tuchel's been getting away with it. That's what I'm saying. There's other
super chats that are not really suitable to bring up. So even though we appreciate and thanks for the super chat, we don't have to oblige to read them out if you're going to talk, you know, a little bit edgy, you know. Don't be edgy.
Yeah, bring that one up.
We don't need your contribution if you're going to be edgy and a bit offensive. So we're not going to bring that up. Yeah. But Tobes, okay, Tobes, the big movers, bro. I'm telling you, you started off with a bang, Bissouma, then you went on a little quiet thing. What's going on now? What's the latest? Talk to us.
The latest, as you've seen, is obviously I think agreed a loan deal with Langley, but. The good
that's news, not a big one, but that's not a big one, is it?
That's not the big one. The big one is we're close to agreeing the fee for Richarlison, which is the big one. That's the good news. That's the big one for me. Listen, I get it. Like, our window started off with a boom, and like in recent weeks, it's gone a little bit quiet. We targeted Bastoni. I think it was clear that Bastoni was our number one choice, but we know what happened there. Inter Milan said they don't want to sell Bastoni, and they put Skriniar up for sale. And Skriniar is the one that PSG are trying to get over to get over to their side, and that's what Inter are going to use to sort of balance the books. So I've been relatively impressed with the window. I've not really had an issue with any of our signings that we've made until today with this Lenglet one. So I'll start with the bad news first. I don't rate Lenglet. I think he's a poor centre-back. I can't even lie to you. More times I watch him for Barca, yeah, he's comfortable on the ball, but he's just not a good defender. He doesn't really fill me with confidence in his ability to defend. So I don't really know how he'll fare coming to the Premier League. And if it was down to me, I wouldn't have made that signing. But I'm not going to kick and scream about it. It's not the end of the world. It's a loan. It's not with an obligation to buy. And he's not coming into this team to be a mainstay. He's not coming into this team to be a focal point. He's coming into this team to provide depth. Yeah, I think he was even reluctant to come to Spurs anyway. But
is he not a starter ahead of Ben Davies? Huh?
No, I don't think he is an automatic starter. That's no, I don't. Nice. I think he's coming for cover.
It's been a very disappointment for Barcelona from the hype he came in from Sevilla.
Yeah.
It's been a proper disappointment.
Surely he's going to Spurs with guarantees he's starting, because he's going to start games to get into the World Cup squad, surely.
He's not going to start, though. Well, he's going to get games, but I don't think he's going to start like that. Like, what?
But surely it's an upgrade on Ben Davies, though, isn't it? He's not even there.
The fact that he's not mad.
No. He's a centre-back, and he's predominantly played in the back four. But Ben Davies was excellent for us in the back three last year, and he's not even a left centre-back. So I don't get this notion that Lenglet is just going to come and walk into our team. And Lenglet is not even the only centre-back that we're targeting this window. Like, we clearly want another centre-back. Alistair Gold has reported that Spurs are in the market for two centre-backs this window. So it's not just left centre-back we need cover for. We need cover in central centre-back as well. And we're in the Champions League this year. We can't play the same team week in, week after week after week like we did in the final few months of the Premier League. So players will be rotated. Lenglet will get some games, but I don't think he's going to be a main guy. So I'm not going to kick and cry about it. So
that means you're not going to get another centre-back then, do you reckon?
No.
I just said we're in the market for two centre-backs. So I still believe Spurs are going to look for another centre-back.
I'm thinking who's out there? That's the thing, though. Like, you know, I mean, Bastoni's looking like he's staying. That's Bremer's going to Inter.
Not necessarily. I think Bremer wants to go to Inter, but we don't know what's going to happen there. Indic is still there. 1 year left on his deal at Frankfurt. Gvardiol is still Torres. There. I've not really watched Gvardiol, but I think Spurs, the names that I've seen us target this summer for left centre back, Bastoni, Gvardiol, Bremer, Indic. And I'm trying to remember the other one. I can't even remember. But those are the main targets that I've seen on that side. So I think Spurs will make another centre back signing, and hopefully it's the right one.
What about Richarlison? Let's get to Richarlison. Talk to me about Richarlison. Is he worth 50, 55, 60 million, something like that? Isn't it quoted? Does he start for you? Because I don't know if he starts for you. And if he does start for you, because to me, it seems like he's been brought as someone who can play across all three positions.
Yeah.
And again, another squad player. You're making big moves, boy. Spurs buying £50 million squad players. Well gone.
Yeah. Listen, bro, you know what the competition is, man. We know what the...
What's your competition? What's your target this year? Chelsea, Arsenal? Chelsea, Arsenal?
We have to, yeah. I want us to be targeting third or fourth spot. Ideally, third. We have to be
third.
We have to be targeting third. If we're spending big this summer and getting all the managers' targets with the manager that we have, we have to be trying to target third spot in the Premier League, and maybe, in fact, definitely a trophy. I want a trophy next season. And I think we have the capacity to win a trophy next season under Conte. But with the Richarlison point, yeah, I think it's weird. The majority of Spurs fans I've spoken to want Richarlison, but there are also a large section of Spurs fans I've spoken to that don't want Richarlison. If I'm looking at the fee, yeah, we're probably overpaying for Richarlison. Close to 60 million. It's an overpayment. Yeah. But you also have to remember that Everton bought this guy for 50 million 4 years ago. Yeah. They bought him for 50 million 4 years ago. And he's been their best attacker over that 4 year period and has delivered double figures in the league in 3 out of 4 seasons. So you're telling me a £10 million uplift on a player who's been proven to score double figures in a team that are nowhere near as good as Spurs in terms of personnel over the past couple of years. I'm not really mad at the price. The price not is the price. Pay it.
Not in this transfer window as well. We're seeing it City and Sterling and Jesus. Right now, it's the transfer window. There's certain teams that need those type of players. That's why we've managed to sell Sterling. Well, Jesus and potentially Sterling in the last year of their contract for what we've got for them, because we're limited with what's out there. So people were paying over the odds for them. So my thing with Richarlison, when you reminded me you've got Champions League football, that changed my view on it slightly, because my thing with Richarlison is I feel like right now Tottenham have potentially one of the best front three in world football. However much people want to see it, that is what their numbers are doing, and that's what they've done. And I'm thinking Richarlison, Rafinha and Jesus and Richarlison are all looking for moves because they want to cement their place in the Brazil squad. We all know it. That's why Jesus chose Arsenal for me, because he knows he's going to be a starter.
He's Rafinha, not going to be a starter for Brazil.
Jesus, if I don't believe Jesus, because you lot were linked with him, weren't you, Tobes?
Yes,
but we I don't think they made a move for him.
But I think Jesus looked at the Tottenham thing and was didn't a make like, a move.
Never did.
Either way, I don't think
literally contacted his people.
We didn't make a move for him, bro. Alex, did. Do you want me to send you the article?
Bro, if you want Richarlison, you want Jesus, they're the same player, but Jesus is just better.
Bro, Babs, I'm not saying that we didn't want him. I'm saying we didn't approach, we didn't make a last-ditch move for him.
But so you wanted him, innit? That's what you said, you wanted him.
Yeah, I know we wanted him, but I'm saying we didn't make a move for him. There's a difference, bro.
You probably did if you wanted him. You probably like
Arsenal. I'm not disputing that we wanted Jesus. I agree with you. I'm saying
no. I'm not saying he rejected you. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you probably made a move for him.
No, I don't think we did make a move for him. That's what I'm saying.
Passive aggressive.
It'd be naive then, because isn't Richarlison just Jesus?
You don't want to take the L.
I didn't move to her. What are you talking about? I never talked to her. I don't know who she is.
Wait.
I looked at her from a distance. That's all it was.
I didn't actually go up to her, though.
One sec, and I don't know why people are saying that. I don't know why people in the comments are saying that I'm saying we didn't want him. We did want him, but I'm saying we didn't approach him. And your point around Richarlison or Jesus, I've admitted several times I think Jesus is better than Richarlison, but that doesn't mean that I'm not happy with Richarlison. I'm happy with Richarlison,
and that's my thing. What you just said there, that I think Jesus chose Arsenal because I think he knows he starts for Arsenal, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Whereas that's my thing with Richarlison. I'm thinking, do you really think you're gonna start in that front three for Tottenham? Because I'm not sure. But you said Champions League, so maybe he's like, I want to play in the Champions League. So
I think there's a nuance here. Yeah, I think there's a nuance here. So Jesus, I don't just think he wants to start games. I think he wants to be an undisputed starter. He wants to be the guy to lead the line, and he's never been that at Man City. Yeah. Richarlison wants a step up. He wants to be playing in the Champions League, and he wants to be playing for a team. He wants to be playing for a team. He wants to be playing for a team in the Champions League, and that's Spurs. So with the mentality and the culture that Antonio Conte is trying to push at the club, it's this. There is no first team or second team. Conte is going to rotate the squad. We're going to be playing Saturday, Wednesday. We're going to be playing across 4 competitions. Richarlison, I don't know why people all of a sudden think Richarlison's going to come into this team and just chill on the bench for 80% of the season. He's going to start.
Son gets a lot of injuries anyway. Son gets a lot of injuries. So
Kane as well.
Should be fine.
Richarlison is going to get game time. And
step
the prime,
up, man.
Matisse, I want your opinion, Matisse, on a guy that to me is famous for scoring the third goal in a second round FA Cup game and celebrating like a pigeon. Yeah. So to me, that's what Richarlison is. What are you saying, like Richarlison?
You just do not rate him whatsoever.
What? No, I don't.
Mad.
Is that because he's Everton or just as a player?
Be honest.
I think he's being very honest.
So forget that part of the question.
Yeah, you.
What's his strengths? And what's his strength?
He's a nuisance, isn't it? That's what he is. He's just a nuisance.
What does Richarlison bring to Spurs, Matisse? I want the rival's view before I come to your final.
What does he
view.
Bring to Spurs? Well, he's going to bring goals. He's direct. And I think for me, in the way that Spurs play, if Harry Kane's putting that ball in behind with that chance creation, he's dropping into the pocket. And say they do get Eriksen, I don't know, maybe you're not going for Eriksen anymore. But even Harry Kane's chance creation, he's putting the ball in behind. Richarlison's a good player to have on the last line running in behind on goal. I think he's a decent finisher. Now, my only thing is, now obviously the price is definitely inflated, but I think it's a good signing for Spurs. I think he's going to be decent for them. It's a big step up. Don't get me wrong. Like, being the main man at Everton and then going into Tottenham, you do have things to prove. However, I think he's one of these players that's kind of decent at everything. And like I said with Gabriel Jesus, I don't think they've hit their ceiling. I think there's let's see if they have another way to go. They've got more to offer. They're at a good age. So the mentality, man, he's hungry. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, he's not one of these nonchalant players that are going to come in and think they're big bollocks. He's coming in to prove a point, and he's always had that little firecracker up him as well. So I think it's a decent signing. And do you know what it is with Conte? Conte and someone like Richarlison, it could slap, because they both feed off emotion. They're both very like energetic, charismatic individuals. And if he makes Richarlison tick, it could be very good for them, because he's one of them players.
I love when we have different opinions, because that's what it's about. And we can keep an eye on that. Yeah. I think his 50 million is a mad price for someone like Richarlison for Spurs. I think Spurs could do better, because I generally don't see him starting. That's the first and foremost thing.
That's my issue, yeah.
Can I ask a question, though? So you say 50 million is a mad price. How much do you expect to pay for a Premier League proven attacker who can play three positions with 2 years left on his deal, that has actually scored double figures in the league for three out of the past 4 years? How much do you expect to pay for that player?
So let me give context why I meant. I agree that if someone...
No, I'm not getting at what you meant. I'm saying and it's not to use to... Everyone.
About that price. It's the going rate. What I meant by that for Spurs to be in a position that you are, you're looking at centre backs, you're looking at right backs, you still need to fill in other voids. To buy a £50 million player that's not known to me, I mean, I know Matisse says he's a great finisher. I don't think he's a great finisher at all. And the Everton people that I've spoken
I think he's a good finisher.
Matisse said he's a decent finisher.
But what I'm saying is, the angle I was coming from is 50 million, and you're not saying he's starting for you guys. If that's your business complete, then fair enough.
It's not our business complete.
But that's what I'm saying. If he's taking a lot of your funds up, I think that's a wild signing for 50 million. But time will tell. Time will tell, innit?
Yeah, we're here. Time will tell. We're looking into it too much.
We have to talk about it, though. So because I don't actually understand what people want Spurs to do here. When we had the front three, when we had it just Kane and Son, we said we need help for Kane and Son. We brought in Kulusevski in January, who came into the team and had a mahoosive impact. Yeah, but when you look at what's beneath that, you look at Bergvall, who wants to leave and has been, by all accounts, a disappointing signing for Spurs. And then you got Lucas Moura, a guy who will be lucky to even get three league goals out of nowadays. What are people? What do people expect Spurs to do here? Should we stand still? Should we go for another £20 million winger who's going to come in and not do well, or should we actually go out and spend the money on an attacker who has actually proven his weight in gold in the Premier League and has actually delivered?
Isn't it, Chris, man? Why are you making him feel guilty?
Don't mind me. I just get my opinion. We're here.
Yeah, you gave your opinion. That's fine. I'm not even mad at Grizz's opinion. Everyone's entitled to it. Spurs fans
of course, on
Richarlison. But what I don't get is this year. And before I say this, I'm going to caveat this year. Rafinha is a better player than Richarlison. He is. Rafinha is a better player than Richarlison. But I am not seeing this uproar. £65 million for Rafinha. But I'm seeing a madness for Richarlison. The price is the price. You're not going to die on a hill for 5 million if it's 60 million, or 10 million if it's 55 million. If it's the player you want and they're genuinely going to improve your team. And does Richarlison improve Spurs right now? Absolutely. Absolutely.
No problem. I hear you. Listen. We got.
I'm sold on it as well.
I just look at the time. Everyone hush now, please. I look at the time and it's mad. It's a mad time. This chat's flowed, man, like mad. We're going to end with this question. A super chat from one brother called Turkish LDN.
Who is he, man? Who is he?
I don't know. Can you tell us? Because you know that
sounds,
we get that.
It sounds Turkish to me.
Wait, check this one out. You know when we get that super chat where that one brother always asks what the initials stand for? Can someone tell us what the LDN stands for in Turkish LDN? But listen, similar to the Arteta Babs question for this season, Tobes, what is the bare minimum this season for Conte Tottenham with these players coming in? So you get all your targets. You get all your positions that you think. What are you saying? Talk to us.
I've already said it. Third spot and a trophy. We have to be going for a trophy and we have to be getting third spot this year. And closing,
fair
the,
play,
closing
man. The gap. You know what, man?
I've already said it.
Yeah, man.
Why are you not clapping, man? That's bold prediction there, man.
Yeah, man. You know he's been doing bench press today. You know Toby's been doing bench press today.
I've heard Toby say this before. I think they should be. Why would they not be? If you're getting depth now from like Richarlison and they sort out all their other issues, I think they need a right wing back. They need two centre backs. I'm not sold on the centre back they're bringing in because I thought they were going to bring in two starting level centre backs to go left and centre and then Romeo on the right. So I think you're kind of not getting the level of centre back I expected you to get because Ben Davies is obviously not good enough as well. Midfield sorted, wing left side sorted. Perisic, listen, why not? It should be 100%.
LT Gaming kind of agrees with me, I guess, because the thing is that Tottenham could have signed all these players without UCL, Spence also. It doesn't take them to the next level, especially with Conte.
This super chat doesn't even make sense. Why does it matter if we could assign these players without Champions League? Arsenal have signed Gabriel Jesus without Champions League football, and he improves that attack significantly. It doesn't make sense. Honestly, I had this argument with Henry the other day. That opinion is so stupid to me. It makes no sense. If a player is a Champions League... No,
karma. Let him go.
Perisic, who used to say that we could have signed him without Champions League football? But let's say we've just signed him. This guy was playing for a team that made the Champions League quarters last year, that were in a title race in the Serie A, that won the Coppa Italia with him being man of the match and their player of the season. He's a Champions League caliber player. What does that super chat even mean?
He's just baited you, man. He's just said they're baited.
Relax, man. Relax. Thanks for the super chat.
You can't say Tobin doesn't love his football club. You know what I mean?
Big Steven doing this.
The cows, come on.
Saeed should make a bid for Bav's curtains because they won't go with Sunday.
Cheers for the super chat.
Steve moving wild in the super chat. People, listen, you lot are mad. There's 5.2k in the building still. 5.2k in the building still. On a non-footballing weekend week. Just talking transfers.
They came for Babs. It's cooking, man. You know,
the support is mad. Absolutely, they came for you know the love that's been shown in Babs, and especially from us, Babs.
Yeah, Babs, man.
Once again, big up yourself. Thank you very much for stepping in, man.
Can I just say as well, like I don't know, there are a lot of Arsenal fans that I hate, but I will say this: Babs has actually held his own today, and I do have a different opinion of Babs after this show.
At least we got an opinion, innit?
Big up Babs. if you start saying your corny shit on Twitter, I'm still gonna get on you.
Listen, man, it's a different people, innit? Twitter Babs is different to YouTube Babs.
That's true, you know, man. I always say that. You get essays
Babs
from
on
the
Twitter.
You know what I mean?
Babs is not playing games on Twitter. It's a different Twitter.
It brings out the worst in all of us, Twitter.
100%. 100%.
But Grizz, listen, you've been very clever tonight.
You mentioned Liverpool. Haven't mentioned Liverpool.
Yeah, but what are you going to talk about? There's not much to talk about.
Nothing
there
to talk about, man.
I salute you, bro. Very clever.
You tried to fit someone in there, isn't it?
You spent your money, so now you need to make it back. So it's outgoings, right?
Yeah, big up Turkish. Twitter's not serious, man. The real chat is on here, man.
I could break something for Liverpool tonight, but I'm going to save it, innit? I'm going to save it.
Oh, he's got the exclusives.
Yeah. You know I have. But I'm just biding my time. You know how we do. We're gonna build it up nice and slowly. Another cryptic tweet in the morning. We go again. And I mean, Grizz Dagger. You know what I mean? But listen, people, still 5.1. You know what I mean? You ain't decreasing because the show's still lit. You lot want more. But we need to go. People, respect for Daps, of course. Daps, thank you very much for stepping into the building once, man. Always a pleasure, brother. Never a troll, man. Of course, man like Saeed, man like Tobes, man like Matisse.
Come on, man. It's always love, man.
100%. Big up, of course, as I said, Babs, hope to have you on again if we feel like jetting out Turkish to another holiday, you know what I mean? Because man is working hard. He needs more than one holiday, brother. But listen, it is what it is. And of course, And of course, big up man like Grizz stepping into the hot seat. It wasn't, it ain't easy.
You done well, man. You done well.
Mm. It ain't easy.
We're gonna take that hat off, it should be pure sweat coming out of that.
There we go, man.
we don't even need Turkish, man. Let him stay in Dubai.
But listen, Turkish, if man like Turkish is in the background, I think hopefully he can hit the outro and we out of here.
Oh, he removed you, bro. He removed him. Wow. Yeah,
hey, bro. Guys, where's Toby gone?
I think two Oscar fans can do it.
Maybe got too confident.
Well done, Babs, man. Well done, my guy. Well done, Babs. Well done, thank Grizz. You, Dax, you know what it is already.
Love, Toby. All the time.
Exit, Toby. Exit, my guy.
Leave studio. Man, listen. Wow. I think it's time out, man. We've done well. You know what I mean? People like the way. If you like on your way out, if you forgot to like. On your way in, and while she was in, because the chat was so enchanting, you forgot to like the button. So now you've got no excuses. Like on your way out, and if hopefully Turkish hits the outro and we out of here, or am I hitting the outro? I don't even know this part.
One last thing, I'm about to go live on Never Fail. The link's below. I'm about to
go. Go on, Dax.
Go on.
Midnight session. Go on, Dax.
Go on.
Listen, love, right, love, people, guys. We out of here, man. Take care.